According to the scriptures, there will be two resurrections. Which one will you be in? Stay tuned to Bibleline and find out.
Welcome to Bible Line Ministries with Bible prophecy expert, radio talk show host, and pastor, Dr. Hank Lindstrom. Over the next half hour, enjoy as Dr. Lindstrom takes you on a journey through the scriptures. Now, Dr. Hank Lindstrom.
Welcome to the program. I'm Dr. Hank Lindstrom. I'm your host, and we're going to be talking about the scriptures, and I hope you'll follow along. Maybe you might want to get your Bible out and look at the passages as we turn to them. You might want to get paper and pencil and jot down the references and look them up later. And also, you might want to look at my Bible as we show the verses up on the screen as we discuss this important teaching. You know, there are two major resurrections, and they are separated by 1,000 years. And the first resurrection is for believers only. And the second resurrection is for unbelievers only. So if you are a believer, if you have trusted Christ as your only hope of reaching heaven, then the Bible says you're going to be in the first resurrection. If you are an unbeliever, you will then be in the second resurrection, which is 1,000 years later. And the ones in the second resurrection will get a resurrection body that will withstand the flames of hell forever and ever and ever and ever. Obviously, you don't want to be in that second resurrection. You want to be in the first one. And the key to being in that one is to be saved. If you trust Christ as your Savior, if you believe that He died and shed His blood as He died to pay for your sins, that He was buried, that He rose again from the dead, God saves you at that moment, and you're saved from that moment forever thereafter. It's vitally important that you pay attention to that and you trust Christ as your Savior if you're going to be in the first resurrection. If you simply neglect to trust Christ or don't bother to trust Christ or somehow wind up dying without having trusted Christ, you will go to hell. You will be separated from God for all eternity in the eternal lake of fire. The only way you can be eligible to enter heaven is to trust Christ. We're going to look at a verse or so in the scriptures, and I think you'll see that the Bible is quite clear that everybody in the human race is divided into two groups only. We're going to look at John 3:36. This is a direct quote from the prophet John the Baptist. And notice what it says here in John 3:36. He that believeth, that word means to trust. When you trust on the Son, that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when you believe that He came and died for you at the cross and shed His blood, was buried and rose again from the dead. He that believeth, the Greek word means to trust, to rely upon, to put your confidence in, to rest your weight upon. When you trust on the Son of God, then you have presently everlasting life. Hath is Old English, but it would read has. So if you're a believer, present tense, you possess everlasting life, you can be assured of going to heaven, and that you'll be in the first resurrection. He that believeth not, that's the second group, and if you're not a believer on Christ, then you're in trouble. If you do not believe or do not trust that Jesus Christ died for you, paid for your sins at the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead, the Bible says you'll not see life. It says, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So the unbeliever is going to wind up in hell, and the unbeliever will wind up in a resurrection where they'll get a resurrection body that will withstand hell forever and ever and ever. So I think you can answer the question now, which resurrection are you going to be in? Are you going to be in resurrection number one? Or are you going to be in resurrection number two? And as a believer, if you've trusted Christ, you can say with assurance you'll be in resurrection number one, which is the resurrection of the saved. The Bible talks about the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the damned. The just are those who are declared righteous or just in God's court of law based upon Christ's substitutionary death at the cross. So if you're in the resurrection of the just, you have to have trusted Christ to be justified and to stand before God as though you had not sinned at all, because the very righteousness of God is credited to the account of the believer. But if you're an unbeliever, if you've never trusted Christ, and you die without trusting Christ, you will be in the resurrection of the damned. That is, those that are damned to go to hell forever and ever and ever. And you don't want to be in that judgment. We're looking here in John, and we just saw a moment ago about how that if you believe, you have everlasting life. That is, if you believe or trust on Christ. But if you don't believe, if you don't trust Christ, then you'll not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on you. Now we're going to take a look at the verses that talk about the two resurrections. Let's look now at John's Gospel, chapter 5, and you'll see this wonderful passage over here in John 5, in verse 29, where it says, And shall come forth, that have done good under the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. So notice here, there are two resurrections mentioned here, and the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. And this verse sometimes puzzles people because it seems to imply works, but actually what it's saying here, those that have done good, and the only ones that can do good are those that are saved. Because it has to do with your position before God. If you are good, you can produce good works or good fruit. But if you're evil, you cannot produce good, but only evil. And if you are a believer, therefore you're going to be in the resurrection of life. If you're an unbeliever, then you're going to be in the resurrection of damnation. I'm going to come back to this verse, but I want to share with you what it says over in Matthew chapter 12, which will shed light on this wonderful passage. It says over in Matthew chapter 12, right after Christ had spoken about the unpardonable sin, he says, in fact, in verse 31, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." What is that talking about? Well, in the context here, Christ had healed a man that was blind and dumb, so that he both spake and saw. The religious leaders, though, couldn't deny the healing, but they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So they said he does this healing not by the power of the Holy Spirit, which Christ acted in the power of the Holy Spirit, but he did it by Satan's power. And really this therefore is a rejection of the person of Christ. To say, yes, he heals, yes, he can do great miracles, but he is not of God. He is not operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. He is operating under Satan's power. That sin of rejecting Christ will never be forgiven, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Then we have this explanation. Jesus says, either make the tree good and his fruit good. That talks about trusting Christ and becoming born again and becoming a child of God that's able to produce good fruit. And here he compares you to a good tree producing good fruit. Or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, deadly snakes, serpents, how can you, being evil? You see, they were not born again. They were seen by God as venomous serpents. He says, how can you speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. but an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So that helps, I think, in our understanding here. And if you are a believer, you have been born again, and you are seen by God as good or righteous or just. And you'll be in the resurrection of the just. You'll be in this resurrection of the righteous, which are those that have been declared righteous based upon the fact that our sins were paid for at the cross and God's righteousness is credited to the believer and he is declared just or righteous in God's sight. So if you're a believer, Christ in this passage in Matthew 12 would say that you are in the category of being a good tree. So if you're a believer right now, you could say, I am a good tree. And if you're a believer, you can also say, I can now produce good fruit. So the believer can do things that are worthy of reward, as believers can earn rewards in heaven, and you will be in the resurrection of the righteous or the saved. But you don't have to do anything to be in the second resurrection except to die without Christ. And so if you're an unbeliever, you're considered a corrupt tree. And nothing you do will be rewardable in heaven because you're going to hell, because you are a corrupt tree. And therefore, you will be in the second resurrection, the resurrection of the damned. Those that are damned to go to hell are in that second resurrection. What it doesn't tell us in these passages, in John and Matthew, the length of time that exists between these two resurrections. The first resurrection occurs at the beginning of the thousand-year rule of Christ on this earth called the millennium, which really means 1,000 years. The second resurrection occurs at the end of that time, at the end of that thousand-year reign of Christ, and the unbelievers are in the second resurrection. We're going to go now to Revelation chapter 20, where it tells us that in verse 5 here, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Then when it says here, this is the first resurrection, it's referring to those that will actually rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years in the first resurrection. So in verse 4 and in verse 6, we're talking about the first resurrection. In verse 5, it refers back to verse 4, that those who lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, that are resurrected at the beginning of that 1,000 years, are in the first resurrection. But when it says in verse 5, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished, is referring to the unsaved dead. The unsaved dead will be brought up, given a resurrection body, and cast into hell. Now notice verse 6, blessed. The word blessed means happy. Happy, and then it says holy, and that again is the person who has been justified by Christ's death and shed blood, is considered holy in God's sight, based upon the fact that Jesus took your sin and paid for it in full, and credits your account with his very own righteousness. So the believer in the first resurrection is considered here happy and righteous or holy. He's in the resurrection of the righteous. And it says here, is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's the resurrection of the just, the resurrection of the righteous. And again, they're righteous because they've trusted Christ. And they, therefore, can then do good, which will bring about rewards into eternity. But the rest of the dead, which are the unsaved, do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. These are the ones that are considered a corrupt tree. These are like those who rejected Christ in Matthew 12. And Christ said an evil tree can only bring forth corrupted or evil fruit. And so these who had rejected Christ, that Jesus was referring to there as being a corrupt tree, were the religious leaders who were maybe living good lives, but they were religious, but they didn't trust Christ, and therefore they committed a sin that could never be forgiven in this life nor into eternity. So it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. on such the second death. Now, the second death is the death where you're cast into hell. Let's just jump across the page here and we'll see it. It says over here in verse 14 of chapter 21, or chapter 20 rather, it says death, and it should read Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. This is, notice, the second death. So the second death is the separation of your soul from God in hell forever and ever. These over here are in the first resurrection, and the second death hath no power over them. In other words, they'll never be cast into hell. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And there again, you see that 1,000 years. You know, the Bible mentions in Revelation 20, 6 times the length of this period being 1,000 years. And we see things happening on the front side of that 1,000 years. Number one, the Antichrist is defeated. Christ takes Satan and binds him in the bottomless pit for the 1,000 years. Then we find the resurrection of the saved. And this is called the first resurrection. And they will rule and reign during that 1,000 years with Christ. But the unbelievers, the rest of the dead, do not live until the 1,000 years are over. And that, of course, refers to them getting their resurrection bodies. And when the 1,000 years are expired, they'll be brought forth from the dead, given their resurrection bodies, and then they'll be cast into hell, assigned a degree of punishment based upon their works or their deeds. So, let me ask you the question now. Which resurrection will you be in? If you are a believer, if you have trusted Christ as the only means of your salvation, if you believe that only the blood of Christ could wash away your sin, like the hymn writer wrote, "What can wash away my sin?" The answer, nothing but the blood. Then you're going to be in resurrection number one, given a body like Christ's resurrection body. You'll live in heaven forever and ever and ever. But the unsaved will not be brought forth to get their resurrection bodies until the 1,000-year rule of Christ has expired. Then they will be brought up, given a resurrection body, assigned a degree of punishment in hell according to their works, and be cast into the everlasting lake of fire. So about this resurrection body that the unsaved people get, apparently it will be a body that will withstand hellfire forever and ever and ever. And the body that the believers get will obviously be able to endure time forever and ever as we live in the presence of God and remain youthful in our new resurrection bodies that will be 33 years in appearance, we believe. Everybody will have a youthful body in the prime of life. If you've never trusted Christ, would you do it right now? Just speak to the Lord and just say, "Lord, I am a sinner," and we all are. "But I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins at the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead. I trust him right now as my Savior, as the one who died to forgive my sins, as my only hope or means of reaching heaven." And God saves you at the moment you do that. And you can know you have it, not by a feeling, but because God has given his word. If God said it and you believe it, that settles it. Because God has given his word and he cannot lie. And therefore you can be assured that if God said it and you believe it, that settles it. You can be assured of going to heaven. And so if you're a believer, you will be in resurrection number one. The resurrection called the resurrection of the righteous, the resurrection of the just, the resurrection of the saved. And if you're an unbeliever, you're going to be in a resurrection 1,000 years later, and then you'll be given a body only to be cast into hell, where you'll be separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. Whew. I'm praying that you would make the right choice to trust Christ as your Savior and not be in the second resurrection, but in the first. Eternal life is a gift. You can receive it right now by Savior. Let me introduce to you some of the resources that we have in our Bible Line Resource Center that I think will be a real blessing to you. We have DVD presentations of our television programs, which each one covers a particular doctrine that you can use for your personal study and enlightenment on that doctrine. Plus, we have CD series of 10 or 12 hours of teaching each that will greatly aid you in studying books like the Book of Revelation or Daniel and many others. About 40 different series are available. Plus, we have this wonderful evangelism series or set here, which is the free ticket tracks, 500 tracks, plus this book that actually tells you how to talk to an atheist, an agnostic, a cult member, a family member, and lead them to Christ. For a minimum gift of $20, you can get these tracks and the evangelism handbook. Also, we have the Strong's Concordance. This is a marvelous tool for studying your Bible because it gives you every word in the entire Bible and by a number code system, the original Hebrew or Greek word from which it came and what it means. It's wonderful for Bible study. For a gift, a minimum gift of $30, we can ship this to you and it will help Bible Line to stay on the air. Also, in addition to the Strong's Concordance, we have the Bible that I like so much, the Scofield Reference Bible. This is called the King James Study Bible, but the notes are by Dr. C.I. Scofield. It first came out in 1909, and the notes are really great because they are geared to the Bible questions you might have relating to doctrine and issues that you'll be facing when you're learning and then talking to others about the Bible. Don't miss out on these wonderful offers. You can go to our website and see them online and order on our online bookstore by going to BibleLineMinistries.org or .com. And you can also call our operators and they'll be glad to assist you in reviewing whatever products you've seen here, resources you've seen, and maybe you'd like to order them directly over the telephone. Just go ahead and call our operators. They're standing by and they'll be able to help you. And you can also give a gift to help BibleLine to stay on the air in your area. In any case, we're very concerned about where you'd spend eternity. And if you have been uncertain or you have doubts, maybe you've never really understood what the Bible says. The Bible makes it very clear that we're all sinners. Every one of us are deserving of hell. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And Christ went to the cross of Calvary, taking your sins and mine upon himself, paying for our sin debt in full by his death and shed blood, such that all of our sins, past, present, and future, were paid for in their entirety. The hymn writer said it so well when he said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it as white as snow. When you trust in the finished work of Christ at Calvary, God then gives you the gift of everlasting life because he fully purchased it because he paid for every sin that you and I would ever commit, past, present, and future. And at the moment you believe, you receive everlasting life, and therefore you'll have it forever. It's not temporary life or probation that God offers, but it's everlasting life. And if you have it right now, as the Bible teaches, it's a present possession, you'll have it tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, a million years from now, a billion years from now, you'll have it forever and ever and ever. So you can be certain of going to heaven from the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. And if you've never done that, just whisper a prayer between you and the living God and tell him, God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and we all are. But I believe Jesus Christ paid for those sins in full by his death, burial, and resurrection. And I trust him right now to save me, to forgive me, to give me the gift of everlasting life. And the moment you trust Christ, God saves you. I did that when I was 18. A year later, I made a second decision to serve Christ. And that's where rewards and blessings and joy comes in. And so you might be a believer, but then if you are, you need to make a second choice where you serve the Lord. You see, rewards are attained by our works and our deeds, and they're a future attainment because rewards are not given out until after we have died. But if you are a believer at the moment of belief, you receive everlasting life and can be assured of heaven. But then the Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, which come about by living for Christ. And I believe some of our resources will really help you in growing and knowing what the Bible says in these areas. You might find out what teaching sets that we have on DVD and video and CD in audio teachings that will help you grow and really become a dynamic witness for Jesus Christ. But if you've never trusted Christ, just whisper that prayer between you and the living God and tell him, God, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus Christ died and paid for those sins in full by his death and shed blood. I trust Jesus Christ right now to forgive my sins, to give me the gift of eternal life, to be my Savior, to be my only hope of heaven, and God will save you. Then you need to make a second decision that will bring about rewards and blessings in your life now and in eternity that come about by our faithful service. But our salvation is never in jeopardy. It is not based upon our works. And once you trust Christ, we have the promise in John 6:37 that Christ said he would in no wise cast out anyone that has come to him. And he says that he would not lose one that has come to him in John 6:39. I hope you'll take a look at our website, BibleLineMinistries.org or .com, and also write down the phone number on the screen and call our 800 number, and our operators will be able to help you be able to find our website or maybe order some of the resources we've talked about or maybe explain to you how you can be sure of going to heaven if you have doubts or confusion about what is required to get you into heaven. I'm Dr. Hank Lindstrom, and I hope you enjoyed Bible Line, and I hope you'll tune us in each and every week, and also to know that on the Internet, you can tune in our radio program 24/7, and I hope you'll take advantage. God bless you. Have a great week. We look forward to seeing you next week right here on Bible Line.
Watching Bible Line, a presentation of Bible Line Ministries of Tampa, Florida. Your donation to Bible Line makes it possible for this ministry to continue. Bible Line's address is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. To order from Bible Line, call our toll-free number at 1-800-576-3771. That's 1-800-576-3771. Or visit Bible Line online at BibleLineMinistries.com or .org. Be sure to watch next week for another edition of Bible Line from Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida.